Today's Shi'im Sechba Mitzia, Daf Pei Zayin. We will begin on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph on the second line. The Gemara continues to discuss the Psukim about Avram Avinu and as Avram Avinu greets the Malachim, his guest. Says the Gemara, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ve'echa pas lechem, that he's just going to give the guest some bread. Ksiv, but then the Pasuk says, that Avram ran towards the animals. And as we discussed in our previous year, he was extremely generous in the meat that he served them. Answers the Gemara, Amr Velozer, from here we learn, tzaddikim don't say much, however, oisim harbe. He just said he's going to give them some bread, but he ended up giving them a very extravagant meal. Rishoyim, and by Rishoyim, it's just the opposite. Omrim harbe, they promise the filumata in oisim, but that they don't even do the little that they promise. So the Mashal explains that sometimes the water tzaddikim not overstate what they're going to do, because the Mashal explains sometimes what's going to happen is that the guest will be uncomfortable causing his host to do so much for him. So if the host is going to be very generous in what he's saying, that will cause that the guest should not want to participate. So what he does is, he says very little. Once he says very little, then the guest will have no problem, accepting. Another question that Ion Yaakov asks, maybe what Avram Avinu meant to do was that he meant to mean a big meal, but the bread is always considered the main part of the meal. So who says that he didn't mean to serve a lavish meal? So the Chida answers, pas lechem, the Torah uses the words that Avram Avinu said, ve'ekra pas lechem. If Avram Avinu would have used the word lechem, we could indeed assume that he meant a meal with bread being the small, just the name of the meal. The fact that he used pas lechem is an indication that he meant to just give bread. The Sefer Erchi Yeshua explains, we know that the Chazal teaches Dvarim Hayotzim in Alev, something that comes out sincerely from one's heart, Nichnosim Alev, enters somebody else's heart. Tzadikim, Oimrim At, the Tzadikim don't say much. However, whatever they say, because they are Dvarim Hayotzim in Alev, Nichnosim Lalev, and therefore their minimal amount of words, Voisim Harbe, have a very profound effect. Another pshat that I saw is that when the tzaddikim, they say that they did very little. They never overstate what they've done in tzedakah and tayrim, it's a masim tayvim. So Oimrim Ma'at, they say that they did little, but really Oisim Harbe, they've done much. Rishayim is just the opposite. They really don't do much, but they make it sound like they've done much. And that's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. I saw another pshat that the Chochmas HaMatzman says that it is, the way to understand it, is that everything that a tzaddik does has the Reitzahara, the Satan, tries to prevent him from being able to accomplish. And since there's so many different obstacles that stand in his way, that's why he's concerned that he may not be successful. The Rishayim, that don't have all of these obstacles in their way, sometimes have it easier to accomplish. And that's why Betzadikim, Oimrim At, they can't really say that they're going to do much because they are constantly concerned that maybe the Yetzirah and his impediments will get in the way from his being successful. Says the Gemara, How do we know that Rishoyim, Oimrim Harbe, Vafil Ma'at Enim Oisim, they say much, but they really don't do anything? Says the Ramanala, we learned this from Ephraim. Bikariksiv, when Avram and Ephraim were negotiating over the Maris Machpelah, the pasuk says, Eretz Arba Mei Shekel Kesef. Vemahi, he says, I'm really ready to give it to you for free. Why? Nothing. And at the end, Vishma Avram Ksiv, Vishma Avram El Ephraim, Vishkal Avram El Ephraim, as a Kesef, Ashadibe Bozne B'nei Ches, Arba Mei Shekel Kesef, Oivel Asoicher. The Shokmine, Ephraim insisted on taking from Avram Avinu El Kantri, which are very good coins. There's some places they call these types of coins country because they represent very, very good coins. And I saw that the Sefer Torah Chaim explains the Pasuk doesn't say Oivrim L'Soicher. The Pasuk says Oivir L'Soicher. What that Pasuk comes to teach us, says the Torah Chaim, is that every coin that Avram Avinu gave to Ephraim was individually checked to make sure that it's a good coin. That's how he was being so careful, so much interested in making sure it's good coins, and not saying whatever you do is fine. The Pasuk says, when they were preparing the meal, the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu said, Mari shloisim kemach soilus. So the Gemara asks, there seems to be a contradiction in the Pesukim. Ksiv kemach, kemach is not such high quality flour, the ksiv soilus. And yet the Pasuk says that they served flour with soilus, which is the higher quality flour. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Yitzchak, mikan she'ishet tzarei neba orchim. Women are typically stingier than men, yoisim and ish, and that's what, so of course the Mefarshim ask, but the Pasuk just indicates the opposite. The Pasuk indicates that Avram Avinu said Kemach, and Avram Avinu said, and she brought Silas. So if anything, it shows that Sarah was more generous. So the Ksav Sofer explains that really Sarah recognized that Avram Avinu wanted to give Silas. So if Avram Avinu wanted to give Silas, why did he say Kemach? He said Kemach because he knew that women, not Sarah, and this will answer another question, how could one suggest that Sarah Imenu was not a generous individual? But now we understand. Avram Avinu said Kemach because he thought that Sarah was like all other women who are not that generous. But Sarah, realizing that that must be the reason Avram Avinu said what he said, did what was the right thing to do, and she took out Silas. Another pshat that I saw is with a story that happened by the Baal Shem. There was a person who Nebuch didn't have any children, and they came to the Baal Shem for a bracha. So the Baal Shem said, what I recommend is when you get back home, have a disagreement with your wife. And after you'll have a disagreement with your wife, then you'll have children. And that's what happened. The Baal Shem was then asked, why would you recommend that someone should have a disagreement with his wife? So he says, I learned it from a pasuk. The pasuk says that Avram and that Yaakov and Rachel had a dispute. Rachel says to Yaakov Avinu, Havali bonim, give me children, then I am mesa nochi, and if not, I'm as good as dead. And Yaakov says, I am the one that makes these decisions. And then Rachel got pregnant. Here too, said the Baal Shem, Avram Avinu said Kemach, and Sarah said Silas. And as soon as they had this argument, they had children. Another pshat that I saw is that there was once a father who told his child that it's lions are very dangerous, and be very careful not to get in the way of a lion. You could really get hurt. And then the child went to a museum, and he saw a picture of a person capturing a lion. He comes home and he tells his father, "I see that people could capture lions. I saw that picture." So the father answered him, "What do people draw pictures of? People draw pictures of situations that are extraordinary, that are unusual. And therefore, what happened here was, that's why when there was once a situation where a person was able to prevail over a lion, he drew a picture. And he says, that's Pshat in our Pasuk. Usually women are stingy and are not that generous. This was a case where we saw sorrow gave solace. Why does the Torah have to see that he brought solace? Because to show that this was unusual, that what Sarah did, it doesn't happen every day. Rav Shur Mekutna, the Shabina Rav, gives a different explanation based on what he heard from Yeshua Mekutna. He says, there was once a guest that came to visit Rav Shur Mekutna, and he was very anxious to honor him and bring him whatever he need. So he told the waiter to bring out wine. He had a good bottle of wine in a certain spot. So the waiter did not find that wine. So he brought a different bottle. And then he says, no, that's not the bottle I want. Until he kept on bringing out bottles, but it was not the bottle that he wanted. Until Rav Shur Mekutna had to get up by himself and bring the bottle that he wanted to serve his guest. So his wife, Rav Shur Mekutna's wife, was watching what was going on. And she said to her husband, why did you have to get up and bring that better bottle of wine? The wine that the waiter had brought was very good. So Rav Shur Mekutna said, now I understand the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Hu am a kemach, vi am a soilus. He said, bring kemach. And she said, that whatever is I bring, soilus is good enough. And she wasn't anxious to bring what is better. I saw another pshat that somebody, usually people who have a lot of guests, don't try to downplay what they do. And that's what Avraham Avinu meant to say. Avraham Avinu meant to say to the guest that I'm bringing you kemach. I'm not bringing you anything fancy. And what I'm bringing you is no big deal. And they'll feel that he's not bothering himself. And that's why they'll feel comfortable to remain there. What did she say? She said, soilus, that they should feel uncomfortable that they're imposing. The Chayzim Lubin has another pshat. The Chayzim Lubin says that the Rambam says that if somebody has a bad trait, what should he do? He should go to the opposite. If somebody is stingy, the way to break it is by being very generous. He compares it to a tree. He says if a tree is bent in one direction and you want to straighten it out, you have to bend it all the way in the other direction. So he says the fact that Avraham Avinu said kemach and Sarah found the need to say soilus. Why did Sarah need to say soilus? The reason that Sarah needed to say soilus, Avraham and the Torah recognized because she's not naturally generous. And since she's not naturally generous, that's why the Gemara says, "Mikan shishit tzara ina beina yosim and ish." So says another pshat that I saw from the Sadegeir Rebbe that what pshat ishit tzara ina ba'orchin. What makes a woman stingy? That every time a guest comes, so what's the proper way of greeting a guest? The proper way of greeting a guest is making them feel at home. If the guest feels like a guest, then you haven't accomplished what you're supposed to do. And now, Tzara Ba'orchim, what she made the guest feel like guest, and the fact that she made them feel like guest, that's what is the unacceptable part of this discussion. Says the Gemara, Ksiv Lushi Vasi Ergus. The Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu said, prepare cake. Ksiv Ikachem Mechala Bekar Vilo Lechem, to prepare bread. Vilo Lechem Loyesel Kamayu. There's no mention that they brought bread. Amafraim Mekshaw, Tamida Shremeya Mishmeid Remeya. Avraham Avinu Oichel Chulam Batara Hoyo. Avraham Avinu was careful to eat food only was with Tahara. The Saramana Oisa Yoim Prisanida. Sarah Mi'ena became a Nida on that day, and therefore the bread that she had prepared became Tame, and that's why the bread could not be served. Even though the Pasuk says that she only became a Nida later, after the meal, so why couldn't she serve them bread? So the Mefarshim explained that she started getting the pains of a Nida. And since she started getting the pain of a Nida, she was concerned that she was already a Nida. Says the Gemara. So here we see that the Ovis were makbet to eat chulin betahara. And the question that I saw the Paiskim discuss is the question that Chishki Chemed has quite an extensive discussion here about a situation where there was a family that was preparing a Sheva Brachas. And they were preparing the Sheva Brachas. And the way they were preparing it, it was that every member of the family, three members of the family, would make fried chicken cutlets. And they needed to have 90 portions. So every one of them were to prepare 30 chicken cutlets. They each did their job. And then when they came, they realized that one of these three people who had prepared the chicken cutlets had actually prepared the chicken cutlets in a dairy frying pot. And now the question is, can they be served? So the first part of his tshuva is really a Yoredeya question. It's a dover shebeminyan. Every chicken cutlet is served independently. Every chicken cutlet is a dover choshev, and it doesn't become bottle. But the question is, are you allowed to create that it should become bottle? If you cut them so they're not that significant anymore, can you do that? And the discussion here is that even though the halacha normally is, em mevatlin isa lechatchila, but here it's chicken and dairy, which is only asa medrabanan. And the question is there a problem of em mevatlin isa lechatchila? He says that it's a question according to the Shulchan Aruch. Sfardim would have a question if they may do it or not. Ashkenazim, he says, according to Ramah, may not do it. But then the question is, what would be the halacha if some of the chicken cutlets were prepared, if they were prepared in a way that they're kosher, but they're only kosher b'dievet? Apidin de mutter, but that's not l'chatchila. It's not something that I would want to eat, that anybody really would want to eat. Are they obligated to notify the guest that yes, we're serving you these chicken cutlets, but they were prepared in a way that you may find problematic? Or if it's kosher, it's kosher. So he says that our Gemara is a raya. Avraham Avinu didn't know what the status of kashrus of these guests were. If anything, Avraham Avinu could have thought to himself, these guests, as we've discussed, as the Pasuk says, look like Arabs. Arabs don't have to be worried about Chulin B'Tahara. But what do we find that Avraham Avinu did? Avraham Avinu did not take that approach. Avraham Avinu's approach wasn't, well, they're Arabs and it's kosher. Chulin B'Tahara is only a Chumrah. Rather, what did Avraham Avinu do? He didn't serve it to them. He didn't even just not notify them. He didn't even serve it to them. From here we see how careful they were not to in any way mislead a guest. And if there's a concern that the guest may be makbid, then the halacha is one should take that. Our Gemara is also a proof that when somebody has a guest, as much as we want to greet the guest and make the guests feel good, we should try to also not do it too far. Because our Gemara says that Avraham Avinu only wanted to serve them kemach. And what we don't find in the Gemara is that Avraham Avinu, that any question about Avraham Avinu. From here we see that we shouldn't create a situation where the guests feel that I'm imposing on them. Rather, we should make it as simple as possible that they should feel comfortable and come again. But then there's another point. The Gemara very much makes an issue about was Sarah stingy, wasn't Sarah stingy. We gave many different explanations. Was she or wasn't she? Why is it so important for us to make that point? So in Poskim say from here we see that the that what's a critical point in knowing a person is if they are generous. And that's why it's so important to be able to make that determination. Was Sarah generous or not? Because that's what one is supposed to look for in a kala. That's what one's supposed to look for in a chassan. Says the Gemara. V'yiftza ma'id. No, it says the Gemara. V'yomel of Isa yishtavayne ba'oil. Says the Gemara, l'idea. What's the Gemara, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? L'idea, to tell us, said, sorry, money, tsnuwa haisa. She acted with great sneer. She remained quietly in a home. So Yin Yaakov says, why was that important? So Yin Yaakov says, as we're going to learn, that the Gemara says that the Litzane Hador, the people of that generation, were said, me Avimelech nis abrasara, that Sarah got pregnant from Avimelech. So since the people were saying that Sarah got pregnant from Avimelech, so the pasuk goes out of its way to show us that actually Sarah Imenu tsnua haisa. Sarah Imenu was actually a woman of great tznius, and there's no reason chas v'shalom in any way to accuse her that she chas v'shalom got pregnant from someone else. Amar Yudah Maravi Tamer of Yitzchak Yoidem Hayom Malach Hasharis she Sarah Imenu oil haisa. The Melachim know where she was. El Amai, why does the Torah say that she was Ba'oil? That she realized that she was Ba'oil. And I saw the Mefarshim, I saw that Ian Yaakov says, what does it mean? Because we know that Chazal teach us, as long as Sarah was in the oil, there was the Shechina, there was an oil, there was the Shechina on top of the oil. So what they were trying to point out to Avram Avinu, look at what kind of a wife you have. Your wife causes that the Shechina should be there. Recognize who is your wife. Yes, B'chanina Amar. B'chanina said that the reason they asked her, they asked Avram where she was, Kadisha Shagagai Kosha Bracha. They said Birch Samazen, and when they said Birch Samazen, they said it on a cup of wine, and when they finished a cup of wine and they make a Bari Priya Goffin, they wanted to send it to her. Tani Mishum Rameya. Laman Nakud. Why, when we look in the Torah and the Pasuk says that they Elov, on the letters Ayoy in the word Elov, we have on the Aleph Yud and Vav a dot on top of them, not on top of the letter. Lemda Torah Cheretz. The Torah is teaching us Sheyishal Adam B'Shloi B'Echsan Yishloi. Somebody should ask the husband about the wife. That's why it says Ba'ayoy. We're trying to say, where is she? They should point out where she is. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the halacha of Amar Shmuel? Ein shayin b'shloim isha klal. You're not supposed to do so. Answers the Gemara, Ayidei Balashani. Under normal circumstances, you may not do so, but through the husband, you may do so. So this is an interesting question, that under what circumstances may you ask, send regards or ask about a wife or not? Because the Mefarshim asks, our Gemara seems to say that you could ask a husband about the welfare of his wife. But the Gemara, Hemsach Tekdushin, as we seem to see, is Usser. So, Taisvis Hemsach Tekdushin, Daf Ayin Amin Aleph, Devei Amaske Dei Bala, that Sheila Sholem through a third party has two meanings. One is asking about her health, or to send her a greeting. Says the while the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin says Taisus sends you now to send greetings to a woman through a third party, even through her husband, but to ask about her welfare, that is permitted. The Bach says that one is permitted to ask any third party about the welfare of a woman, not only her husband, as long as there's no wishes being sent, just inquiring about her, that's permitted. The Chalkas Mechaikik disagrees and says that our Gemara only permits that we can ask the husband about the wife's welfare. So we have two conditions. You're only speaking to the husband and you're also only asking about how she's doing, not in any way sending regards. But then says the Chalkas Mechaikik, asking another person about the wealth of a woman is never permitted, because it could lead, says the Chalkas Mechaikik, that that person will send wishes from this man, and you're never allowed to send wishes from a man. However, says the Nesivas HaShalom, now we're saying that you can't ask about the welfare of a woman ever through a third party. That, he says, is only in a situation where the woman, you don't know that the woman is sick. But if you know that, Rahman Tzlan, the woman is not well, so then asking about her welfare, even through a third party, not the husband, is permitted. The Aruch HaShulchan says that only saying Shalom, that the word Shalom, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is forbidden. But to say good morning, that is permitted. Moreover, says the Aruch HaShulchan, greeting one's family members, even a daughter-in-law. So if you walk into a room and your daughter-in-law is there and you say hello to her, that's just common, proper manners. And since he says that's just proper manners, that's permitted. Deizem Mekodesh says that one could say Mazel Tov, one could say Mazel Tov to a woman when she had a baby. The Pasuk says, Achre Be'alaisi Haisa Edna, Amr Chizda, what she said was, Achish Nisbala Habosar, after Sarah Menu's skin got aged, Rabba Kamotim, and she had wrinkles, Nisadin Habosar, her skin got refreshed, Nispashtu Kamotim, and the wrinkles cleared up, and at that point, she looked beautiful again. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vadani Zakin, that Sarah said that my husband is old man. Ksiv, but the Pasuk says, Vaniza Kanti, says the Gemara, so it turns out, like Maisva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amrit Iyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not reporting to Avram Avinu as she had said. She spoke about him, but Hashem said it was she spoke about herself. Answers the Gemara, the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel did this, because Tanad Bei Rav Shmuel Godel Shalom, peace is so great, Shafil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinaba, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu was somewhat not 100% accurate. Shinemar, the Titzchak Sarah Bekirba Lema, Achru Beloisi Haisla Idna Vedoni Zokain, the Ksiv Yomishim Avram, when Hashem repeats it, Vaniza Kanti. She did not want to say that. So the Chavetz Chaim asks, if we look at Sari Menu's statement was Achri Beloisi Haisa Edna, that after I became older, now I become rejuvenated, and she said Vadoni Zokin. So she did speak about her being an old woman. So why is this called an inaccuracy? So the Chavetz Chaim says, from here we see that a half a truth is also a lie. And the fact that only half of what she said was repeated, and not all of what she said is repeated, the Gemara already considers that not being accurate, actually reported. But the Gemara is saying that it was permitted because of Shalom. The Pasuk says, V'tavim mimela Avram, Hanika Banim Sarim. So it says, the Hanika Banim means that she nursed many children. But ask the Gemara, Kama Banim Hanika Sarah. Sarah only had one child, Yitzchak. How does the Pasuk imply that she nursed many children? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbelevi Oysa Yom, Shagam Avram as Yitzchak Benoi, the day that Avram Avinu, that Sarah finished nursing her son, Yitzchak, also Suda Gedoilah, they made a large meal. And Hayakul Omisailam Aranim Va'imrim, and the entire world was saying, Re'isim Zakim Zakenim, you see this old man and old woman, Avram and Sarah, Shavi Yusufim Minashuk, they must have just found a child in the street. Va'imrim, and now they're saying, B'neinuhu, he's our son. V'layoid, El Sha'isim Mishta Godl, and now to support what they're saying, they made this large meal, Lahamad Avrayim. Ma'os Avram Avinu, what did Avram Avinu do? Holoch v'zimen es kol g'dayla ador. Avram Avinu invited all the important people. V'sari men ezimnes nishasayim, and Sarah invited their wives. Well, kalachsman hevis b'no ima, every one of them brought along their children, or meniksa, her lovey, and they didn't bring along the wet nurse who was nursing these children. V'nasa neis b'sari menu. And there was a tremendous neis that happened. V'niftachu da'deh k'shnei mayonis. Her breast opened up like two springs. V'nikas kulon. And she was able to nurse all of them. To prove that she had, that it was she who had a child. And I saw that the Sefer Ben Yoyada says the Pasuk is being very careful in how it reports what happened, because the Pasuk wants to indicate that these children did not nurse directly from Sarah, because they didn't want that Sarah should come in direct contact with these non-Jewish children. The milk just overflowed into them. At this point that they had clear proof that Sarah had these children, Avram ben Meir Shana Yoilet, how could they say that Avram Avinu had this children, so had this child? Says the Gemara, to disprove them, everybody saw that Yitzchak turned around, and everybody saw that he looked Nidmel Avram. Everybody saw that he looked like Avram Avinu. And at that point, Paschal Kul of Amru, Avram Hailadis Yitzchak, they had to all admit that Avram Avinu was the father of Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, Ad Avram, until the time of Avram Avinu, Lo Yizikna, there was no old age. You could not tell if a person was young at all. And therefore, there was a big problem, because as we just said, Avram and Yitzchak looked like each other. And therefore, Manda Avabayla Mishteba Hadi Avram, if somebody wanted to speak to Avram, could easily make a mistake and Mishtoi Bahadi Yitzchak and speak with Yitzchak, because he couldn't tell the difference. Or if somebody wanted to speak with Yitzchak, Bahadi Yitzchak, Mishtoi Bahadi Avram, what had happened? Os Avram Boy Rachmi, Avram Davin, Vahava Zikna, Shnema, Avram Zikna, Haya, Vavram Zokim Baba Yomim, and like that you could tell the different. So we see from here, says the Sefer Meloi HaOmer, because they looked like each other, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make Zikna. Until this time, there was nobody that had such a strong similarity. But the Gemara just said why we need to have that strong similarity between Avram and Yitzchak. The Rambam, in a letter to his son, writes that Ashrei mi shekolo yomav b'mehira. A person comes to this world, and he does what he has to do, and he leaves the world. But, says the Chasam Sofer, the Pasuk says, v'sircha Hashem v'tayv v'piri bitnecha, why do we want to have arichas yomim? That we should be here to teach our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren what is the proper way to live. That's what the Pasuk means. Ad Avram lo yazikna. Till the time of Avram Avinu, there was no point in having old people, because old people are here to train the future generations. But people didn't live that kind of life. But now came Avram to the world. And Avram taught us that the purpose of parents and grandparents is to teach the future generations how to live. When there's a purpose in teaching the future generations how to live, now there's a reason to have zikna. Says the Gemara, Ad Yaakov lo yaveh cholsha. Until Yaakov Avinu, there was nobody that was sick. Us Yaakov boy rachma v'yaveh cholsha. When Avram, from the time of Yaakov, there was people who got weak and sick. Shnem of Yomel Yosef, they told Yosef, Hina avicha chayla. So I saw that the Tosfos asks, that the Gemara says that Avram Avinu had a stone around his neck, and anybody who was sick would see it and get healthy. But now the Gemara says that until the time of Yaakov, there were no sick people. Says Tosfos that somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get sick min Hashemayim wasn't. But if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, had an accident, that was already in the time of Avram Avinu. The other terrorists that they suggest is that until the time of Yaakov Avinu, people were sick, but they didn't die from getting sick. This, that a person gets sick, and then Rachman Son, after he's sick, he passes away. Yaakov Avinu was the first one that had such an experience. Adas Elisha, where I have the Cholosh for Isbach. There was no one who got sick and that got well. Also, Elisha boy Rachmi, but Elisha came and davened, and what happened was, Vispach, and he got healthy. Because the pasuk says, "Never Elisha cholas chol yosh yomus boy bechlal the chola chol achriti." He was sick another time, but that time, that he didn't die from it. Tanabon shloshim cholaim chol Elisha. Elisha actually got sick three times. Achle shadoch v'legisav shtei yadav. When Gechsi wanted to do tshuva, Elisha refused to accept him, and he got sick for that. Achik shegira dubim v'tanukis. There were children that were taunting him, and he caused that bears should attack them. Vechad shemeis by shenema, the pasuk that we just quoted, Felisha cholas cholya shiyamas by, says, we learned in the Mishnah, that Rav Yochanan ben Maschya said to his son, Ella, atchalai schila b'malacha, before they begin to work, say v'emer lehem, go tell the workers that you hired, amnash en lecha malai, Ella pas v'kitnis. Amalei Rav Achabrei Rav Yosef Bechiz, the pas kitnis tanan, what is the proper way of learning the Mishnah? Doesn't mean pas kitnis, that means bread made out of beans, or bas v'kitnis tanan, that what I have to serve you are bread and beans. Amalei, so Chizder answered, halakim tzri chavav, it should be understood, pas v'kitnis, k'may the livery livrois, just like a need, just like a boat that travels in the river has to have some sort of a stick in front of it to guide it to go straight, that's the proper way of learning. And from here we learn that the minimum amount that should be given as a meal is pas v'kitnis. We always follow the minhag medina. Ask the gemara hakel su yamei. What does that mean to teach us? The suya de tanan hasaychos apoyel. If somebody hired a employee, v'amalek echik shnayim v'nei ir, you should get paid like one or two of the workers in the city. Nice and lebepachas shebeschiris. You could give him the lowest wage because we applied the halacha of amoytzim chaveroi olav araya. And you have to prove that I owe you more. Divrei, Rabbi Yeshua, Chamamim, Kisham, the Beneim, we average it out. That means we take the highest paid worker and we take the lowest paid worker and we average out what is the median salary. We learned in the Mishnah about what we're obligated to pay our workers. The Torah Kedosha says, Kisava, if I come to somebody else's vineyard, the Torah Kedosh is teaching us that if I work in your field, in your grape field, I am entitled to eat grapes, but I can't put them and take them home. If I come to your grain field, says the Mishnah, these workers are entitled to eat fruit from their employer's field, Mediraisa, Haisa, the Mechubal Kak, if somebody's working with something that is attached to the ground, Bishask Marmalocha, when it's finished, when you're detaching it from the ground. But the Ptosh Makaka, if you work with something that's detached, Achloi Nigma Mrachtoi, till before it's completely finished, that it's Chayv and Meiser, Vedava Shigdulam Man Arts. And this is only replies to something that grows from the ground. Ve'el shein oichlim. These workers are non-entitled. Hoysim mechubal karka. If you work with things that are attached to the ground, b'shosh ein gemar melacha, when the produce that you're working with is not finished, v'tolosh min karka, or you work with something that's detached from the ground, that was machsh nigmar melachtoi, after it was already finished to be processed, and if you work with davish and gedul menar, it's something that doesn't grow from the ground. Begins the Gemara Menani Mili. When do we, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Ksiv, the pasuk says that we read, Kisava b'kama sreiecha v'chalta. So the pasuk says that you're working at the, when it's finished. How do we know that the pasuk is speaking that you're working when it's finished? Because the pasuk says that it's at the time when it's ready to be put El Kalicha, there's a time when it's ready to be put into the basket. If it wasn't finished, it wasn't the time to put it into the basket. Ashkhan asked Gemara, this pasuk is talking about a vineyard, Kerem. Kamili Minolon. How do we know this halacha applies by other fields as well? Says the Gemara, Gamrina Mikerem, we learn from a vineyard. Ma Kerem Yuchad, when we speak about a vineyard, it's a Dovah Shigdulim in a karka, it's something grows from the ground. Vishask Ma Malacha Payalachaboy, when may a worker eat at the time when it's finished to be processed? Af Kal Dovah Shigdulim karka, similarly, anything that grows from the ground, Vishask Ma Malacha Payalachaboy. But ask the Gemara, Ma Lakerem, when we speak about the vineyard, Shekechai Ba'olus, small grapes that are never going to be developed, are the aniyim are entitled to them. So maybe this is a halacha that only applies by kerem. Answer the Gemara, Gamrina Mikarma. The Torah also spoke in the pasuk that we read at the beginning of this Mishnah about a tvua field. The Kama Gufa Menola, the Ksiv Kisav Kamas Reach, the Ketata Melilus Yotcha. So we see that it's not just something that's chayiv and oilless. It says the Gemara, but Malakama, when we speak about grain, Shekein Chayevis Bechala. So it's unique that it's chayiv Bechala. Says the Gemara, Umemaida Haikama, what makes you explain that Kama means Kama de Mischai Bechala? They're speaking about Kama that's chayiv Bechala. Dilma Kol Kama Rachmana. It means anything that grows standing, not necessarily grain, even beans. Answers the Gemara, Asya Kama Kama. We learned the following Gzeri Shava. Ksiv Hocha, Kisava Bekamas Riacha. The Ksiv Hosom, the Pasuk says by Shvuas, that Torah says, Mehochel Kermish Bekama, from the time that we cut the Omer, that we bring on the second day of Pesach. Ma Hosom, when we speak about the carbon Omer that's brought on the second day of Pesach, it's talking about barley, which is Kama de Mechai Bechala. It's grain that when you bake into a bread, Yechayiv and Chala. Av Hochnami, Kama de Mechai Bechala. It says the Gemara, Ikla Mifrach. So yes, Kama represents something that is Chai Bechala, that is grain. But from here we should learn that the din that you have to let the worker eat is only by Chala, only by grain. How does we know it applies to anything else? So Rashi says that the Gemara is learning this Ksei Rishava to ask a question. But ask the Rishonim, the halacha is, you can't make up your own Ksei Rishava. Ain't Adam done Ksei Rishava me'atzmai. So what does the Gemara mean to say? So the Rishonim answer that what it means is that what they had was that they were taught that these two words are connected. Kama, kama. But they did not know which comma, comma. And now the Gemara is trying to assume, is this the comma that should be connected? To which the Gemara says, so the Gemara is suggesting now, that maybe only something which is chai b'chala has this halacha that the worker may eat. As the Gemara, kerem yichich. A vineyard has no chala. Mal kerem, what are you going to say? That kerem has this stringency that's chai b'oilis, comma techiach. V'choz adein, loy rizek rizeh, what is the common denominator? Both psukim speak of something that grows from the ground. That the halacha is that if a worker is working with it as it's processed, he's entitled to eat from it. From here we learn that anything that grows from the ground says the Gemara. If we think about this, both of these things, grapes, wine, and grain are things you can yesh ben tzad mizbeach. The wine is used for the nesachim. The flour is used for korban mincha. Asa namizayis. And even if we include olives, which are also used for the korban mincha, so it's brought in the mizbeach, but how will we know that this halacha applies to anything that grows? Zayis b'ma'ach atzad asi. Who gufei keramikri? So ask them, what do I need a special limud to include olives? Olive is considered a kerem. The ksiv, because the pasuk says, v'yivam egodesh v'akamav ha-kerem zayis. So you see the word kerem applies to zayis. So obviously if the Torah says kerem, it means olives. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't be a proof. Because Amar HaPapa, kerem zayis ikri, an olive field is called kerem zayis. Kerem stamalai ikri. Says the Gemara, "Kam makom kasha." We're back to our original question: how do we know that everything that grows has this halacha that the worker may eat from it? Ela amashmul amakra. The Torah says, "Kisav v'kemes reacha v'ketafta melil spiyotch v'chemish loyson of alkemes reacha." From the word chemish, which means a sickle, l'rabbis kabel chemish, anything that's cut. Ask the Gemara, but hai chemish miboilei, we need it for a different limud to teach us b'shas chemish, when it's finished and it's ready to be cut, echoil, may the worker eat from it. However, shloi b'shas chemish, when it's not ready to be cut, loy teichel. Answered the Gemara, that you could only eat from something when it's ready, finished, processed. That we learned, for, as we said earlier in the shir, the keli yuchaloi siti nafka, that's ready to be put into the keli. Ask the Gemara, teinach, the bar chemish. So now we know that anything that's cut, that has this halacha. However, something which is not cut with a sickle, the labar chemish, dates, olives, figs, menolon, how do we know that that halacha will apply? Elam Rav Yitzchak Makra, kama, the word kama, l'rabbis kaba l'kama. Ask the Gemara, but haven't we said earlier in our shir, v'amit kama kama, that the only thing that's chayiv, the only thing that this halacha applies, is grain that's mechayiv b'kala. Answers the Gemara, when do we have that xerish shava? Hani mili mekama d'nesi chemish. Before we worked with the word chemish. Hashta, however, that we have the word chemish, and from the word chemish, we learn the scrabble called avar chemish, that anything that's cut is included, avagav d'loy chayiv b'kala, even if it's something that doesn't produce something, a food that's chayiv b'kala. Kama lomeli, what do I learn from the word kama? The rabbis kabal kama. So ask the Gemara, v'hashta d'nafkalon. So we're learning chemish to mean anything that's cut with a sickle. And then we have the kama to teach any grain. Kisav b'kam re'ech lomeli, amrav alel chaysav, to teach us the various halachas that apply to a worker, what he's allowed to eat, what he's not allowed to eat. Ketanya, the pasuk says, Kisava, Nemekam Bia, regarding the worker. And the Torah says, regarding a worker getting paid, Nemela Halon, Biyama Titin Tscharoi, Vele Sava Elova Shemesh, Mala Halon, the pasuk of Dara, Kosmodab, the Torah speaking to an employee, Afkan, when the pasuk over here is speaking about the Poyal Kosmodab, speaking about an employee. Bekerim Riacha, the Torah says Bekerim Riacha, to teach us that Loi Bekerim Kuti, that by the Kerim of a Kuti, not only may you eat as you cut, but you're allowed to even put it into your keli, into your basket. Says the Gemara, that understanding is understandable, Han Nicha, Leman Da Omer, Gezel Kuti Aser, that we could be more lenient when it comes to the financial matters of a Kuti. That may not be lenient. So since you may not be lenient, that's why now we need a pasuk to teach us lemishri lepoil, that by a worker we could be lenient. However, ask the Gemara, lemandam gezel kuti mutar, that the Torah is lenient when it comes to the financial matters of a kuti. So ask the Gemara, hash the gzel mutar, if by every person could be lenient under such circumstances, poil. Do I need a pasuk for a worker? Answers the Gemara. Mukim la, he's going to say that this pasuk is coming to teach us. If somebody is working in a field that belongs to Hegdish, there he may not, this halacha does not apply. As continues the Gemara, the pasuk says, Vachalta, v'loi moitzitz, that a worker is not allowed to suck out the juice from the fruit and dispose of the fruit. And most Rishonim explain why. Because you're just ruining a good fruit. And therefore, even the Torah gives you rights, not at the expense of ruining and not completely consuming the whole fruit. Another pshat I saw is that metzitza is not considered achila. Sucking is not considered achila. It's relevant to Hilchos Brachos. Kenafshecha, says the Gemara, Kenafshecha balabais kach nafshecha poel. Ma nafshecha oichel, just like if somebody eats at that point in the field, he doesn't have to take off meiser from what he eats. Af nafshecha poel, what the worker eats, oichel upati wouldn't have to take off meiser. Savacha, v'lo yechil gasa. You only could eat in a way that's a normal way of eating. When you're working and you're collecting, then you may eat. However, when you're not working on collecting the produce and putting into baskets, then this special rule will not apply.